celebrating 50 years of ministry. This is Breakthrough with Rod Parsley.
A short investment of time can yield game-changing results. 10 minutes to tranquility from Dr. Rod Parsley will give you supernatural strength and comfort through the power of the Holy Spirit. Begin and end each day with the peace that passes all understanding. Learn the keys by requesting your free copy of 10 Minutes to Tranquility. Call or visit rodparsley.com.
Chapter 2, we'll begin at verse number 1. And it came to pass. I've got about a 17-week series out of those words. We'll bypass it. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, she being great with child. Now, when Miss Joni was getting ready to give birth to Ashton Blair and Austin Chandler, I used to introduce her. This is my wife who is great with child. And she wasn't half bad before that. So she was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished. Somebody say, you're going to make it to the finish line. The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. What if this was the day of your deliverance? What if an angel began to stand here in front of you and herald out to you, today is the day of your deliverance. Today is the day of your breakthrough. You're about to break out, break in, break over, break loose, break free, break in, break through. This is the day of her deliverance. She brought forth her firstborn son. Now pay very, very, very close attention, because we're going to unwrap some things today. We're going to unwrap some things. You ready? And she brought forth her firstborn son. And what did she do? She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. May I submit to you today that he is the God of the eternal present tense? May I tell you that if he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and the book says he was, and the book is right and they are wrong, if he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, I've got an idea that he's still wrapped in swaddling clothes. You said, yes, but he lived 30 years and then he was called into ministry, yes. And then he preached the gospel of the kingdom for 3.5 years. You're correct. And then he hung on that angry, mean, biting beam called Calvary, suffered, bled, sighed, cried, died, shed blood by which the very veins of God were emptied. You're right. But then you say, but they put him in a borrowed tomb. You're right. But before they put him in that tomb, they wrapped him in grave clothes. So he began all wrapped up. And he finished his earthly journey, his incarnation, God with us, Emmanuel. He ended that whole business at a tomb, all wrapped up. Shove your neighbor and say, all wrapped up. He was all wrapped up. But on the third day, an angel appeared and said, Mary, go and tell. Wait a minute. It was that same angel that appeared to her and said, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored. Blessed are you among women. Blessed be the fruit of your womb. Now he's showing up back here on the other side. And he's saying, the angel is saying to Mary, go tell on the mountain. The Son of God. Joni's favorite verse in the New Testament. He is not here. He is risen as he said. I'd never like to talk about the beginning that I don't talk about the ending. I like to get us all the way across the finish line. And you remember that swaddling that he was wrapped in at his birth? He was wrapped in it again in that tomb. But your Bible said when he came out, he folded that thing up and he laid it down. And on the third day, he got up. Okay, so she brought forth her firstborn son, and she did what? Come on, give it to me. She did what? She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and that little three-letter conjunction means there's more coming, and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds, wise men, shepherds. An angel talked to shepherds working the third shift. We talking blue collar shepherds. They're working the hoot owl shift. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about because you had never had to work it. From midnight to 8 in the morning, where nobody else wants to work. These shepherds were on duty and on call. He says to these shepherds, look, for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this is how you can find him. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Why don't you? Praising God. Why don't you? Praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Saint Jerome, who lived in the 4th century, he lived in Bethlehem, the place of bread. Saint Jerome, who was responsible for translating what became commonly known as the Latin Vulgate Bible, from which every single Bible you've seen in your life was derived from. He was personally responsible to translate the scriptures out of the original Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic into what became known as the Latin Vulgate Bible. He said this, blessed are they who possess Bethlehem in their hearts and in whose hearts Christ is born daily. Now, my message to you today can be characterized by a very popular English idiom. It first appeared in Arthur George Eliot's novel, The Mill on the Floss. That was in 1860. The phrase then became popularized in 1946 when it appeared in a murder mystery, Murder in the Glass Room. The words are these. You can never tell a book by its cover. Or more popularly, you can never tell a book by its cover. Because it's all wrapped up. This shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. As I said, manger is mentioned three times in verse 7, in verse 12, in verse 16. Now, the first gift I want to unwrap is the manger. And when we think of Jesus and his stepfather Joseph being carpenters, that's the image that comes into our minds. Couldn't be further from the truth. They were not wood carpenters. They were, Jim, stone masons. They worked in stone. In fact, the manger that is talked about in Luke chapter 2 was no doubt fashioned by Jesus' stepfather himself. He made it himself. So let's unwrap this. First, the first gift we're going to unwrap is stone. Isaiah 28, 16. Therefore, says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And then he follows it up in the new covenant in 1 Peter 2, 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house as a holy priesthood unto God. Somebody shall thank God for stone. Somebody shall thank God for the rock that will not roll. But you have to understand, I'm not just talking about him. I'm talking about what we unwrapped in him gets wrapped up in us. Let's unwrap gifts number 2 and 3. You're going to love this one. You understand that what had happened there was a birth. Anyone ever attended one? They don't look like that first picture. Give me that first manger picture. They don't look like, did your baby look like that coming out? I had the privilege of cutting that umbilical cord. Just like Joseph probably cut the one of the baby Jesus, he separated that baby from its source of life. You on your own now. Jesus leaped out of eternity and into an earthly manger. He had to be separated, laid down all his godly vestiture, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience, laid it all down, and was born a man, covered in the blood of a woman, covered in the afterbirth, separated from heaven into this carnal, disgusting world. All that had to be washed away. I'm not just talking about him. I'm talking about you. John 19:34 says a Roman centurion withdrew his sword while he hung on that angry, mean, biting beam and thrust it into his side. And your Bible said, forthwith came blood and water. The Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth cleansed for our cleansing. He alone could wash us. He alone could make us holy. I wish somebody in this sanctified church would shout, holiness unto the Lord, now and forever. I can hardly wait to unwrap gift number 4. It was salt. They took powdered salt and they would rub it on that infant. Do you know why? Because he had a wound, and that wound would become infected if there was not a disinfectant to protect it from infection and from disease. Jesus broke the curse of every sin, every sickness, every victory over every infectious wound and putrefying sore on the soul of humanity, every sin, sickness, and Satan, every demon, depravity, and disease. And then Jesus looks at you this morning and unwraps this for you. You are salt. Number five, they bathe that baby in oil. I don't have time to talk about the anointing. Mary called him Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing was yoke-destroying, burden-removing anointing. Here, the full-grown babe of Bethlehem's manger in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, and to preach the year of Jubilee. Everybody's standing. So the question today is, for that hurting, wandering world, that broken and bruised and battered world out there and in here and right there, where can Jesus be found? So that world out there with hunger in its eyes and a hole in its heart is looking around this Christmas season. They're trying to find Jesus. So where can they find him? I think they can find him in the same place he's always been. All wrapped up. What's he all wrapped up in? Well, your Bible says you are the body of Christ. We're the swaddling, we're the wrapping. And when that world finds us, they ought to be able to shout, I just found Jesus. I just found Jesus. The same Jesus that came to the earth on that first Christmas morning is going to show up at your family's Christmas dinner, is going to show up at the Christmas office party. They're going to be hurting and bruised and battered and frightened, afraid, wondering and wandering. They're looking for something. And I'm going to ask God to unwrap you. From this day forward, Father, thank you for the gift of your Son wrapped up in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Put that anointing on us, oh God, every single one of us, that during the rest of this entire season and the rest of our lives, we will be that body of Christ, all wrapped up and ready for you to gift us to a hurting world.
Well, I don't know about you, but I sure do love displaying the compassion of God by performing his nature, by giving. You know, in John 6, verses 32 and 33, your Bible and mine speaks of a giving heart. That's the heart of our Father. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. That's what Jesus said. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life, hear it, and gives life to the world. The living Christ, our Savior, at Christmas time, came all the way from heaven down to fill our empty and tattered and troubled souls. And in the next few days, it's very critical that you and I follow his divine example to help provide for those who are in desperate, desperate crisis. I'm sure you'd agree that no child, you know, Joni and I always say, Christmas is about two things, Jesus and children. And I'm sure that you agree with me that certainly no child should go hungry at Christmas time. 65 million in South Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia, the northern triangle of Africa. They're not getting up Christmas morning and, you know, peeking under the tree, sorting through the beautiful packages. their plight is a different one. They're slipping very, very slowly, painfully into eternity. The culprit is starvation. For 6 straight years, they've had deadly drought. And the uncertainty of war has left them with little, if any, hope at all, really. Now, this Christmas weekend, you and I, we can give them hope for tomorrow by giving them nutritious food that will save their lives. One precious friend, a Bridge of Hope, has established a $50,000 matching challenge. They did it to encourage you to give your very best at Christmas. A generous gift, therefore, right now of $48 will double in impact. It will feed, hear me, 16 starving children for the entirety of the next month. It's that easy to give the gift of life. Our ministry partners, as always, will be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with every single one of them. Think about this. A $96 Christmas gift doubles to feed 32 starving children for a month. $300 will help sustain the lives of 100 suffering children. Now, I believe that our giving God's already placed a seed in your hand. That seed can provide Christmas hope to a suffering child, weak, weary, from hunger, wasting away for nothing more than the lack of food. I know you're going to want to join me. I know you're going to want to help them. So please, call right now. There's no time to write, or simply click on that secure website, rodparsley.com. Today, you can relieve their suffering, their pain, by doing the best you can. In the middle of the horror of famine facing precious children, right now, in the Horn of Africa, half a world away, on their behalf, can you imagine when they get that first bite of that nourishing food that you provided? Let me thank you for displaying the love of God at Christmas.
A deadly consolidation of conflict and climate has escalated an already dire situation in Ethiopia, Somalia, and South Sudan. The hunger crisis in the Horn of Africa is expected to expand to 25 million more children and families before the end of the year. That's why Bridge of Hope has established an emergency hunger crisis matching challenge. Help us rush 150,000 meals to save the lives of desperate families who find it nearly impossible to put food on the table. The Horn of Africa is suffering. Starvation rates are growing, and your immediate Bridge of Hope holiday gift will double in impact. $48 doubles to help feed 16 children for a month. $96 doubles to help feed 32 children. These little ones often suffer the most. Their emaciated bodies are too weak to fight off infection and disease. Help them by calling with your most generous holiday gift to these families left with nothing more than the tattered clothes on their backs. Put your gift to immediate use by clicking on rodparsley.com. This crisis is far from over. Help us double our relief efforts this holiday season.
You know, one of the great, great joys of Christmas time is hearing from my wonderful friends, family, partners. You know, Joan and I, we just really love reading your Christmas cards. They're so beautiful, and they come from your heart. We'd love to read your letters if you have time to write a few lines. It's a great, great honor that so many thousands of you take the time to include your prayer request so that we have the great opportunity to agree with you in prayer. We want to do that. I bless you and everyone you love this Christmas. I pray it will be the most joyous of your life. A Christmas where the smiles and the laughter of those you love constantly warm your heart. If there's an empty place at your Christmas table this weekend, I'm also praying that the peace which passes all understanding will fill your heart. Merry Christmas from all of us at World Harvest Church, the Breakthrough Ministry, and all of our global ministries. Thank you very much for sending a life-sustaining gift for those in such desperate need and for your generous support of our Bridge of Hope outreaches around the world.
A deadly consolidation of conflict and climate has escalated an already dire situation in Ethiopia, Somalia, and South Sudan. The hunger crisis in the Horn of Africa is expected to expand to 25 million more children and families before the end of the year. That's why Bridge of Hope has established an emergency hunger crisis matching challenge. Help us rush 150,000 meals to save the lives of desperate families who find it nearly impossible to put food on the table. The Horn of Africa is suffering, starvation rates are growing, and your immediate Bridge of Hope holiday gift will double in impact. $48 doubles to help feed 16 children for a month. $96 doubles to help feed 32 children. These little ones often suffer the most. Their emaciated bodies are too weak to fight off infection and disease. Help them by calling with your most generous holiday gift to these families left with nothing more than the tattered clothes on their backs. Put your gift to immediate use by clicking on rodparsley.com. This crisis is far from over. Help us double our relief efforts this holiday season.
If you prayed along with Dr. Parsley, we want to help you make it all the way to your heavenly destination. New Direction is a helpful and free roadmap. Each page will help keep you headed in the right direction every day. Your new life full of hope and promise. Please ask for New Direction by calling 24 hours a day or when you visit rodparsley.com.
Celebrating 50 years of ministry, this is Breakthrough with Rod Parsley. This broadcast is made possible because of the faithful monthly support of Revival Covenant Partners. Thank you. To learn more, visit rodparsley.com.